Well, last week, we began a conversation about sharing what we love. Encouraged by the story of the Magi, those three wise men as we sometimes call them, I asked us to consider both what we have to share and how we can create space for others to share with us. I've also invited the congregation to try an experiment, one that would build relationships through sharing. I'm grateful for the folks who are currently helping develop that start of an idea into something we can all do together, and you'll be hearing more about that in the weeks to come. It's going to be exciting to create this space together. Over the next few weeks, we will be reflecting in worship on the blessings of sharing. From sharing what we have, to sharing to who God invites us to be, to sharing all that God invites us to do, and simply sharing what we love. And being that we're still a little fresh out of Christmas, I'd like to spend a little bit more time with baby Jesus. Now, pardon me for hopping around in time. Last week, when we told the story of the Magi arriving, Jesus was about 2 years old. And today, we're bouncing back to when he was younger. Our story today takes place at actually a very specific time, a very specific place and moment in Jesus' life. Today, our scripture takes place on the day that Jesus turned 40 days old. As random as that might sound to us, 40 days was a very specific and special age to reach as a little Jewish boy. Day 40 is actually much more exciting and enjoyable than day 8. Snip. Day 40, a little bit more special and exciting. The religious rules in Leviticus and Deuteronomy lay out guidelines for women and for children after a birth. All told, after you follow all these rules, it takes 40 days for the mother and the child to be ready to go to the temple and dedicate that child's life to God's work. I want you to hear the story as it's told in Luke. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they, Mary and Joseph, brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated and holy to the Lord. And so they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord by offering a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit rested upon him. It had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had met the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, you are now dismissing me, your servant, in peace, just as your word promised. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all people, a light of revelation to the Gentiles and glory for your people Israel." And the child's father and mother were amazed at what was being said about their son. Then Simeon blessed them and said to the mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and the rising of many in Israel. And he is a sign that will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed to the world. And your heart and your soul will suffer also." Now there was also a prophet named Anna, the daughter of one of the tribe of Asher. She was great in age, having lived with her husband for 7 years in marriage, and then as a widow after his death till the age of 84. She never left the temple, but solely worshipped there, fasting and praying night and day. At that moment, she came, saw Jesus, and began to praise God and to speak about the child to anyone who would listen. She shared of the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong and was filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The scripture today is just full of things to tell us. Some of them we might easily overlook. For example, when it says that Mary and Joseph used doves as their offering, it tells us something about Mary and Joseph. For this dedication of your firstborn, it's all written out there. If you open up your Bible to those first couple books, it's going to tell you all these rules. And the rule was, when you brought your firstborn, You were supposed to bring a sheep as the appropriate sacrifice. Unless you couldn't afford a sheep. If you couldn't afford a sheep, you were allowed to bring some birds instead. Mary and Joseph couldn't afford a sheep. There's always a second option in the scriptures for folks who couldn't afford those bigger animals. And Mary and Joseph needed that extra permission so that they could come and offer what they had. Of all things, those two little birds are a reminder that Jesus, those simple and humble origins we talk about with the stable, it's not there, I was about to point to it. Those simple origins in that manger and inside the stable, those weren't just a Christmas Eve thing. Jesus spent his entire life in a home with low socioeconomic standing. That would have shaped how people saw him. I also hope it shapes how we see him and see others too. Another part of the scripture that's worth noting is when Simeon speaks of Jesus and all that he will mean, this beautiful blessing he offers, he says that Jesus will bring God's salvation and says that it will come to all people, for Israel, the Gentiles, for everybody. Did you catch that? All people. This is another place we could easily overlook the profound meaning without knowing some of the context. It's a very powerful thing for one of the folks who works in the temple to stand there in front of the temple crowd and say, hey, this kid's going to bless us and them. Because there was a pretty big us and them at the time. The separation between Jew and Gentile was vast and very, very difficult. So the differences between Israel, the Jewish people, and the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, had all sorts of religious, dogmatic, political, and social pressures on it. These were not people you typically would have heard grouped into the same sentence, or even the same conversation, let alone a blessing in the temple. Right there in that temple, Simeon was proclaiming God's love and grace for all people, no matter what lines or separations society or religion had drawn. That's a very big deal. The other big deal that we could easily miss is the role of the widow in this story, Anna. Anna is a prophet. So often our scriptures leave women out of the stories. We go through the scriptures and it's all about the guys and what they're doing, and the women end up just sort of at the edges of the page. Though we are intentionally going to bring in some stories of women in the Bible in the next few weeks. But far too often when women are included in our scriptures, they show up as prostitutes, adulterers, in the kitchen, or dotingly following the men around. There's so much more than that. The church and the Bible still have issues fully appreciating and celebrating the significance of women. But in this story, we find a woman in a powerful and divine role, serving as a bearer of God's message, a female prophet, proclaiming all that Jesus would be and do. That's really cool. So as we start into this scripture, we've already been reminded of Jesus' low socioeconomic standing. We've been reminded that God's salvation is for all people, no matter the religious, social, or political divisions we create. And we've been reminded that women are seen as equals by a God who is grateful to have them carry divine messages into the world. Those are actually just the footnotes at the bottom of the Bible. This scripture tells us so much. It also tells us something about sharing what we love. And each of the different people in this story show us something about what it means to share. Sometimes we are Simeon. Sometimes God has something to offer us that will come into our lives through another person. God promised, this is something you will receive. And lo and behold, Mary carried that life in. When we create space for others to share what they love, when we create space to let others share who they are, we are creating space for God to be present in our lives. This scripture reminds me that it's good for us to expect something of God. Now, we could spend a lot of time discussing the nuances of that statement. What are the healthy expectations we should have? What are unhealthy expectations that only lead to disappointment and da-da-da-da-da? But any kind of conversation like that assumes that people already have expectations of God. And that's a pretty big assumption. I have found more often than not, the people I come in contact to in this world just don't have expectations for God. Whether out of uncertainty or cynicism, fear of being let down, sometimes it is easier not to expect anything of God. And the story of Simeon is a reminder to us that we should expect things of God. We should expect to see God show up in our lives. That's a fair expectation. Just like God did to Simeon, God promises to each of us that we will see the divine presence in our lives, that we will not go through life without experience God's presence with us. And what we will find is that just like Simeon, that divine presence often comes into our lives through the people we meet and create space for. When we create space for others to share what they love, we are creating space for God to fulfill a promise that God will enter our lives. Sometimes we're Simeon, and sometimes we're Anna. Anna's story is one of witnessing. You see, first, Anna witnessed God's presence in Jesus, meaning she saw it. But witnessing has a couple other meanings. Because after she saw God's presence, then Anna witnessed about it, meaning she shared it. Witnessing is an act of sharing and recounting. You know, it's actually one of the things we ask in the membership questions when you join Highlands United Methodist Church. I've got these nice little envelopes. They just got some simple stuff. You answer a couple questions, let us know how to get a hold of you, and you can too can become a member of the church. Those questions, though simple in their number, are deeply meaningful. And one of those questions asks, will you support Highlands United Methodist Church through your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness? We didn't used to ask the question that way. It's only been about 6 or 7 years that word's been tagged onto the end. We use the word witness in that sense, meaning share. Will you support this congregation? Will you support God's work by sharing? Will you share what you love? That's one of the questions we ask every person who joins this church. We have for years. And Anna is a great reminder of why. She had spent decades in that temple worshiping God. I mean, she had perfect attendance for showing up to worship. And worship is an important and meaningful thing. But then she encounters God's presence when it's shared with her. And she moves from worshiping to witnessing. She goes from just celebrating God to sharing God. When we create space for others to share who they are and what they love, we're creating a space to witness God that we might go out and share God's love because of it. Sometimes we're Anna, and sometimes we're Jesus. When I hear the story of Jesus being dedicated in that temple, I'm reminded once again that the world is waiting. We spent Advent waiting for Christmas. Usually waiting is a concept and a theme we spend December talking about. And then Christmas gets here and we're like, yay, the waiting's over. The world is still waiting. Even after Jesus' arrival, the world was waiting to see, to experience, to know the hope, peace, love, and joy that Christmas was all about. There are so many times in our lives that we are waiting for those things to be real and more than just words that are said. And we live in a world that is waiting together with us. And just as Simeon and Anna found their waiting come to an end because they met Jesus in that moment, so the world can see hope and peace and love and joy in us. They're waiting. You see, what we have, what we do, and even more, who we are, when we share that, it might be just what the world is waiting for. Because God is fulfilling a promise to the world through your life. God is continuing the work that God began in Jesus through you, when you share what you love. Amen.